Okay, I got a couple questions about this from a constitutional or legal standpoint. We reached out to Dave Schultz, that law professor at Hamline University. He's joined us before. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show again.
Thank you for having me again.
Jump into that conversation. I said that was one of his most outlandish tweets. How do you read or interpret what the president tweeted over the weekend?
Well, what I read is two or three different things here. First, Jeff Sessions is doing his job. And his job is when you have evidence of corruption, especially by members of Congress, what do? You prosecute. And I think, 99 out of 100 of us would agree, you know, maybe 100 of us out of 100 should agree on that. Second, it's Trump basically saying that I want you to apply a different standard of the law when it comes to my friends and supporters. And then third, I think Trump is laying the basis not just for the removal of Sessions, but more importantly, if the Republicans lose control of the House of Representatives in November, he can say it wasn't my fault, don't blame it on me, blame it on who? Jeff Sessions, blame it on everybody else. So I think it is a shifting of the blame to somebody else.
You know, we think about obstruction. We think about something Mueller will investigate and discover that we don't know about. I wonder if, though, the president's very tweets can be used against him in this regard.
Yes. Even though in the big case, Hawaii versus Trump, Trump versus Hawaii, which was all about the Muslim travel ban, the court didn't look at Trump's tweets and out-of-court statements. There's been a couple of other cases where federal courts have looked at what Donald Trump has said, whether in his tweets or speeches, and have used that against him. And I suspect you will see that going further down the line here, and maybe any other lawsuits, that things that he says, you know, almost incessantly every morning come to speak to what his state of mind, his intentions, and that becomes important any type of perhaps criminal matter or perhaps an impeachment. So yes, if I were his attorney, I would be telling him, shut up and put the phone down.
Yeah, but you can lie on Twitter. You have very broad use of free speech in this country. And if you want to rant, you get to do so. So I wonder if it is in fact fair to hold the president to what we see in these tweets. Maybe it's just being angry.
Right. It's in general, it's not illegal to lie unless you're under oath. However, out-of-court statements under federal rules of evidence, in some situations, out-of-court statements may be used to establish what? To be established, again, in this case, maybe intentionality. Let's say a lawsuit is being brought to claim obstruction of justice. Maybe you can bring those in. And that's very, very common. Oftentimes, courts will do that in all kinds of trials in terms of saying that, well, what did a person, you know, send out in terms of a tweet, an email, a letter, et cetera, et cetera? Because remember, part of proving a crime is not just speaking to did somebody do something, but also to their state of mind. And you can bring in lots of evidence that establish state of mind or intentionality.
Joe, you had a question. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. How you doing, John?
Good.
I just had a question. Is not what Trump is trying to do with Sessions by forcing him to cave into his will, so to speak, considered obstruction of justice, or at least trying to tamper with the investigation?
Yes, under federal law, this could be. If he's in some way, shape, or form, either trying to impede a federal investigation, halt it, et cetera, for illicit purposes, you know, I think the law actually says for corrupt purposes, then yes, that would meet the federal requirements for obstruction of justice. So you're absolutely correct here. And it sounds like here, if what Trump is doing is saying, don't prosecute for the purposes of preserving our political position, and he's trying to put pressure on him, at the very least, it's an attempt to try to obstruct justice. And if he actually were to prevent Sessions from doing something, that would probably amount to what? Outright obstruction of justice.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, though. I mean, it's an attempt, but has he actually obstructed is another matter. Now, maybe the very suggestion of it, given who it is in and of itself an obstruction, but they didn't stop prosecuting these people. So that's just the president, back to my point, being angry. And I think there's the problem
right.
For you and for me. I have less than 60 seconds left. What's your take on how should I watch the Supreme Court hearings this week?
What you want to do is, I think the two main areas that are going to be important to look at, clearly everybody's focusing on Roe versus Wade and reproductive rights. I think the more interesting question is probing Kavanaugh's mind regarding whether or not a sitting president of the United States can be indicted for a crime. Because remember, Kavanaugh was involved with Kenneth Starr back when the special prosecutor was investigating Clinton for lying under oath about having sex with Monica Lewinsky. So I think that whole issue there, all about can presidents be indicted, sitting presidents be indicted for a crime, I think is probably the most important question, along with the fact that both Democrats and Republicans are going to be grandstanding and using these hearings as a springboard for the 2018 election.
What are the chances, though, that if Kavanaugh is confirmed, and I'm sorry if you address this, would recuse himself in that case?
That is a possibility. I mean, I think it's remote because there are no rules governing recusal for Supreme Court justices, discretionary. But that is clearly a possibility if it looks like he has already made up his mind, or in some way, shape, or form, his impartiality can be questioned.
I feel like Elena Kagan, recused herself so often after she was named by the Obama administration, and then, you know, took Obama era cases. Am I incorrect?
No, you're absolutely correct, because she was the Solicitor General. She worked in Solicitor General, argues cases before the Supreme Court. She was a high-ranking justice official. I think it's about third in line or something like that. And you're right. She did recuse herself from a very significant portion of the early cases that she was involved in as Supreme Court justice, because she was also involved in making decisions in those when she was in the Justice Department.
Well, to that point, Professor, I think that they should withhold a vote on this nominee until after the Mueller report is done. But I know I'm not king yet, so that ain't going to happen. But I think that would be the fairest way to handle all of this. Okay, it just beat 2 o'clock. That means I'm late for the news. Dave, let's visit with you again. What's the title of your book that you've just updated, by the way?
The book I updated is Presidential Swing States, Volume 2.
Let's visit again, Dave Schultz.
Anytime.
Law professor at Hamline.